Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Green Room. Well, this is in bad taste. No.
I mean, we have gone.
Last week, we plunged to new depths. And I've got to say, in our defense, we didn't start it. I mean, we were just innocently sitting here waiting for another phone call on throttle body fuel injection or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. I was hoping to answer something about a mass flow meter. I was ready. Or maybe an oxygen sensor. I mean, I was ready for something like that.
And we got a call about picking noses. Now, did we get mail on this one? Now, we did get some letters from a few longtime listeners who said that if we didn't clean up our act, they weren't going to listen anymore.
That's it.
So we hope that if you are a longtime listener, at least you'll turn down your radio for the next few minutes so you won't have to listen to this.
Yeah,
but most of the mail was from people hoping to shed light on this understudied yet over-observed subject.
So it is understudied and over-observed, but it clearly is something which many, many people had opinions about. Every piece of mail we got for the whole week, both pieces, had to do with this issue. I don't know where to start.
Do something clinical.
I was saving the clinical one for later. You want the clinical stuff?
Do something
now?
Tasteless.
Let me do something tasteless. Okay.
We might as well get it out of the way.
Might as well get it. Actually, many of the pieces of mail came from women. I was quite surprised.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I listened. This is from Jennifer Johnson from Binghamton, New York. We know what Binghamton is.
Near Unadilla.
Unadilla. I listen to your show religiously, once at Christmas, once at Easter. And I wanted to do my part in clearing up some of your confusion about automobiles and nose pickery. A lot of names to this, by the way. Mm. Some medical terms. As a senior about to graduate with a BA in women's studies, this is probably her thesis, I feel it my duty, nay, my dubious honor, to expose yous and users' callers' sexist, unenlightened view of nasal decloggery. That's another term. I like that, nasal decloggery. Let the record be set straight. Women do, in fact, pick our honkers. Women do, in fact, pick our honkers in our cars, though perhaps with a bit less fervor than our male counterparts. The reason you don't see women engaging in what is, let's be honest, America's favorite pastime, as oft as men, is that women are smart enough to look around before proceeding to pick. We have the wisdom that others, namely men, lack.
Well, one other thing women have, not all women certainly, but certainly some, and I hate to interrupt, is long fingernails, which certainly facilitate.
We have a letter about that too.
Picking process.
We had several MDs, one of whom was Dana Peterson, Dr. Dana Peterson from Linden, Washington, who says he is not related to Melissa. I have just finished listening to today's program, and your conversation with the lady was complaining about mostly men picking their noses in their cars on Monday mornings. Once again, your brilliance has manifested itself, and your sensitive and incisive commentary, you see why I picked this letter, has made me woozy with admiration. Your analyses were right on the nose, so to speak. Men do have forests of nose hairs compared to women. There's nothing like dry weather to encourage major booger production in one's nasal passages. People do feel completely anonymous when they're in their cars and so feel comfortable engaging in all sorts of activities that they would never dream of exhibiting in public. In our household, which consists of me, my husband Jeff, and our border collie Montag, we refer to the extrication of nasal buildup. That's a nice expression.
Mm.
Extrication, E-N-B.
N-B, right.
As mining, hitting pay dirt, and striking the mother load. Anyone who thinks this is all too grotesque and disgusting for words is not being honest about our national pastime, which is not baseball, to be sure, and never has been. I can't read the rest of it.
No,
it's
just too bad.
It's too disgusting.
Okay. Great. Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Great.
I'm really glad to talk to you.
Same here.
What we do for you?
All right, well, listen, I got a car problem, but I also want to tell you something. I'm in my last year of acupuncture school.
Yeah.
And I want to know what point to hold or to needle to cure this car problem.
Like, what I want to know.
What's the source of all chi in a car?
Does acupuncture work on tires?
Acupuncture work on tires?
Wouldn't that be sort of, as they say, self-defeating?
Depends on if you want excess or deficiency treated.
All right, what's wrong with the car? I'll give you the acupressure point.
All right. I took it into the garage for a tune-up, and it's a Honda, 1988 Honda Accord LXI. It's black.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make any noise in the engine, but when I picked it up, now it makes noise in the engine. And it's like a tick, 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 tick noise. But before, it was really quiet.
Uh-huh.
What did they do when you had it in the garage?
They charged me a lot of money, for one.
Did they adjust your valves?
Yeah. Yeah, they gave me what they was called a tune-up. I don't have the...
Man, the lube job. Right.
But do you know that they adjusted the valves? Is that on the slip?
No, I don't know that they adjusted
the valves. How much did they charge you?
$316.
Yeah.
My guess is they adjusted the valves, too. I mean, that would be an incredible amount of money for just a tune-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they adjusted your valves.
Yeah.
And they screwed them up.
They did?
They did it wrong.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's easy to do wrong. It's got too many. First of all, why do they need so many valves? I think it's got like 100 valves per cylinder. I mean,
since
the days of Julius Caesar, we survived on 2 valves per cylinder, 1 intake, 1 exhaust. We did all right with that.
If you adjust the valves too loose, meaning that you make the clearance too big, then what happens is they do clickety-clack.
Oh.
Right, and believe me, it's very easy to do these wrong, these multiple valves per cylinder. Well, because all cylinders have multiple valves, so just more than 2. This has 4 valves per cylinder.
Multiple.
And it's easy to screw them up, and I'll tell you from experience, I know, because I have screwed them up myself. And you put the thing all back together, you don't know you screwed it up until you've got the valve cover on, you start the engine, you hear, tick, 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 and you say, oh,
I take
you
it cry. Back?
Take it back.
Yeah.
You think they'll do it for free?
They better.
They have to do it for free.
Well, right. What if I want to pursue alternative medicine for my car?
Do you want to know the acupressure points for these valves?
The pressure point is you have to stick your finger at them on the mechanic's chest. You know that one point? Say, listen,
say, I'm
buddy.
Not paying for this again. And you keep poking them right there in the chest, right above the left ventricle.
That's the spot.
Above the left ventricle?
Yes. And that will fix it. In about 2 hours.
Good luck, Jody.
Good question.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, Jody, before you go.
Yeah.
Want to write a book together?
Want to write a book?
Let's write a book together.
I got it. Fine. I'd love to.
Acupuncture points for the car.
That would be perfect.
Send us a sample chapter and $100 and we'll think about it.
No, send us 10 sample chapters.
Thanks for calling, Jody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, this is J.D. I'm in Danville, Virginia.
What's your name?
J.D.
J.D.
In Danville, Virginia.
Right. I just want to tell you guys, you're very popular with Cocker Spaniels and Yellow Canaries here.
Cocker Spaniels? Hey, that's good. Yellow Canary.
How do you know that?
Because my neighbor has a yellow canary and my sister has a cocker spaniel.
So what's up, JD?
Okay,
that's good to know.
I have a two-part problem.
Yeah, A
okay.
And two. Yeah,
I've got a '79 Chevrolet van. It's the 3/4-ton long wheelbase cargo van.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's got the 350 engine in it.
Yes,
and know it well.
I get very attached to my vehicles. I fall in love with them.
Yeah, and you keep them forever.
I find myself with the same problem with this vehicle I have with my soon-to-be, or you could say, ex-girlfriend.
Mm.
I love them both. Now the van,
soon to be ex girlfriend.
Yeah, she's on her. She's in the process of leaving me. Okay, she left. All right, it made me admit it.
Was it a leaving or a ditching? Did she just leave you or ditch you?
No, she moved out.
She moved out. I would say that's a ditch.
That's ditch. Yeah,
you got ditched.
Thanks. I really feel great.
Well, you still got the '79 Chevy.
That's true. Well, I might not. That's why I'm calling you. I'm trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had the valve covers off of it, and as close as I can tell, it pretty much has a worn-out cam in it. It's got about 225,000 miles on the original motor.
Oh, what do you expect?
225. That's good. How did you determine that it has a worn out kit?
Because the valves don't move, right?
I have very, very little valve movement on three valves.
Maybe you can shim them up a little.
Never thought of that.
A little block of wood.
you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
You very likely do have a bad camshaft.
I've got no lower end noise out of it, nothing on the crankshaft that indicates any problems down there.
Yeah.
Right. You never will have a problem until you spend the $650 to put a new cam in.
That was what I was getting to.
I mean, if you had a professional look at this, are you certain that you're getting an insufficient amount of lift on some of the valves?
Yeah, I went into all the books and checked what the valves are supposed to be lifting to and measured them.
Good.
And then I had a friend of mine check it, and he runs a shop here in town.
Good.
And he come up with the same conclusion.
Good.
Good, good, good.
Except you want to put just a camshaft in it, huh?
I was wondering if I should replace the motor, replace the van, or, you know, like I said, should I replace both of them?
Well, I'd start by replacing the van, I think.
And then work backwards.
Yeah.
Then
if that doesn't work, then I would do the cam.
Another cam.
Yeah. I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it really does run okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you're not that attached to this. I mean, I can tell you're the kind of guy, JD, that doesn't get attached to much of anything.
Yes, he's attached.
No, he's not attached. His girlfriend's ditching him, and he's worried about...
He doesn't care.
I can't figure out how to live without either one of them. That's the problem.
If you lose her and the van, might you go off the edge?
That's really going to be devastating.
Then put a camshaft in it.
Then put a camshaft in it.
I mean, I have to say that if it were my van, I mean, how's the rest of the van?
But the body's in great shape. Transmission's good. Driveline's good. Rear end, no noise.
How's the dashboard? Is it all cracked?
No. Dashboard, that one's good. It surprised me.
Then I would go for the camshaft.
Okay.
I mean, are you going to do this work yourself, or are you going to have it done?
Oh, sure, I'm going to do it myself.
Oh, then it's not going to cost you any $650.
No, it's going to cost $800.
$800, probably.
No, it isn't that hard.
Oh, yes, it is.
So a lot of nuts and bolts have to come off, but it's not the end of the world.
You got to put a new timing chain in it, too.
Well, I was going to do that while I had the timing cover off anyway.
Well, you might as well, and you have to put new lifters in it.
Right.
You're not in a hurry to do this, are you?
No, I have time.
You have time. I don't know what you're going to do with your girlfriend. I think that's a lost cause.
Think so?
Well, I just get the feel, I just get from the tone of your voice that you recognize that it's hopeless.
Well, maybe not. I mean, all he said was that she moved out. She may just need some space, man.
Yeah, that was the I got that let's be friends speech, I need some space kind of thing.
Oh, so it's not necessarily a lost cause.
So keep dropping her flowers from time to time.
Yeah, exactly.
I most certainly would. I mean, if you have these kinds of feelings.
Did she give you her new phone number? Was it like an 800 number?
No, Susan doesn't have a phone yet.
All right.
If she gives you the phone number and the first three digits are 555, you're done for.
555 or 976.
976.
Good luck, JD.
Thank you very much,
You'll spend
guys.
Many happy weekends working on this van.
Yeah.
See you, JD. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Don't forget the flowers.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Therese from Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Therese.
I have sort of a general car anatomy question.
Car anatomy.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. About a week or so ago when the weather was really nice here, my two youngest sons, who are 4 and 2 years old, were outside playing. And after a couple of minutes, I went out to check on them, and they had been stuffing Jumbo sidewalk chalk up the exhaust pipe of my Plymouth Grand Voyage.
Ah, must have been listening to the show of 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, we recommended this as a preventive measure.
Right. Yeah. The exhaust pipe was all different colors. They were black. And I wasn't sure what to do about this. I waited until my husband got home, turned on the car, and the chalk got blown out. But my question was, could the chalk have gotten up into the muffler? And my husband said, well, you know, if it rattles around when you drive, then we probably should get it checked out.
Well, tell your kids that next time they do this, it has a zero chance of getting to the muffler unless they use a broomstick.
Right.
So put it in the edge of the tailpipe.
Or a wiffle ball bat.
And if you push it in with the broomstick.
Just like they used to do with old-fashioned cannons, you know, they'd throw the cannonball in and then...
Yeah.
Right, well, they're not above doing that. So I just wondering.
Well, I hope they're listening so that next time they'll know
there will be no next time.
That you have to shove it all the way in.
Okay.
And then, yes, it...
Yes, it could get all the way to the muffler if it were done properly.
And it does take some practice, and that's you got to start somewhere. So I think they've done fine by even thinking of this. They haven't tried it with a squirrel yet, have they?
But if it does happen, I mean, if it were to get into the muffler,
right.
The combination of the water, which is one of the exhaust products, in fact, one of the primary exhaust products, and the heat would break down the chalk.
So it wouldn't be a big deal anyway.
Let's see.
Don't stone.
Calcium carbonate. Oh, you get carbonic acid.
Okay. Oh, so rot the muffler right out and you'd need a new
one. Yeah. That's what you'd get.
I don't think so.
And then that would turn into...
Go ahead.
Quinine water. You might have
right.
a little...
Sparkling
factor.
Water.
You might have a little Evian factory.
Right, you could put Pellegrino right out of business. Maybe this is how they do it.
I don't know. Yeah, no, there's nothing to worry about.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you, Therese.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, are you ready for your weekly puzzler hints?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
What enthusiasm. All right. Whenever we perform a duet on the piano, I play the melody and you play the blank.
I play the bench usually.
Well, when I let you play the chords.
Oh, the chords, yeah.
That's what I was looking for, chords. Yeah. Okay, here's the second one. NPR commentator Daniel Pinkwater considers himself blank challenged.
Well, I happen to know Daniel Pinkwater, and he's circumferentially challenged.
Bingo! The puzzle was about a chord that touches the circumference of a circle, and I'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
If I had some money, tell you what I'd do. I'd roll downtown by me. Yes, I'm crazy about a hybrid Honda gonna cruise. Up and down a road. Up and down a road. Gonna buy me a hybrid Honda gonna cruise. Up and down a road. That girl I love, old Mio, why don't she look good? Hybrid gas electric.
And even though NPR stagehands dig out the old two-man hook whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, which was quite a wonderful question.
Well, this was a mathematical puzzler sent in by a fellow named Jerry Olson, and people who have listened to the show for a long time may remember that we used this puzzler about 18 years ago. I figured...
Did we really?
Yes.
But it probably didn't have... The flavor that it had. Oh,
exactly, exactly. Because it wasn't obfuscated.
It was just a simple geometric problem, whereas this time you've worked in the circus and lions, comets flying by,
yeah,
inky darkness.
Exactly.
Quonset-hots.
Well, it all adds to the magic.
It does. It does.
Anyway, here we go. Ed, the owner of a painting company, and his two sons, Biff and Skip, have been hired to paint the floor of a carousel, you know, a merry-go-round.
La Giostra.
La Giostra. The paint they have to use is very expensive epoxy paint, so they want to make sure that they measure the floor area exactly so they don't buy any extra paint. But there's a catch. The carousel, of course, is a circle, right, with all the,
yeah.
all the horses.
They're all around.
But in the middle of the carousel, there's a smaller circle, which is, in fact, a hole, which contains all the machinery, the mechanicals, you know, the motor, the gears, and all that stuff.
That's where Paul Newman was.
And what was that movie?
The Sting.
He was hiding out there?
No, that's what he was doing when Redford found him.
Oh, really?
Sure. He was asleep at the wheel? He was working in a circus doing nothing. Redford saved him from that ignominy.
So anyway, Ed says to Biff, number one son, we need to know the area of the carousel, the area that's to be painted, the big outer circle where the horses are, and the area of the inner circle where there's nothing but the machinery. Once we have the areas of both circles, we can subtract the inner circle from the other circle, and we'll know how much paint we need.
Yeah.
So Biff goes and gets to the carousel and says, consarn it, I can't get the diameter of either circle because all the machinery's in the way. In other words, he can't get a straight line across the middle of the carousel, so he figures, I'll cheat, the old man will never know. He measures a straight line from one edge of the carousel to the other edge.
Yeah.
In other words, he's going to make a what's called a chord of this big circle.
Yeah.
Okay, any line that goes from one edge of the circle to the other, any straight line that isn't the diameter is a chord. As luck would have it, the
like
tape...
a minor, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or like a Honda, right? As luck would have it, the tape measure touches, or in geometric terms, is tangent to the inner circle at one point. So Biff comes back and says, look, I couldn't do what you wanted me to do, but I got this measurement, and it's 70 feet. The old man administers a swift dope slap and says, how the heck are we going to use this? You don't know either area. You don't know either diameter. You didn't measure anything. Look, I love you, Biff, but you're a total zero. The other brother, Skip, comes out of the inky shadows.
Yes, I knew you'd work it.
He says, cut the kid some slack. I think I can figure it out. The question is, how does
Skip
or Biff
yeah.
figure it out?
Wow.
So let's look at what we've got here.
Now, there isn't a geometry teacher in the country who would present this problem this way. I hope that they're taking a little lesson today.
Well, if they did, the books would have to be like 8,000 pages.
Hey, you got to do something.
So we could do the math here where, you know, we could do A squared plus B squared equals C squared. We could draw triangles and figure out the equations, and we would solve it.
But then you would try to be doing this in your car while you're driving.
And you'd probably go off the road. So if you want to see the math, you can go to the website. You can just go to cartalk.com, and you can see the math. And it's really elementary geometry. But what's interesting is you don't need to know the diameter or, for that matter, the radius of either circle to solve the problem. And the measurement that Biff took
was perfectly adequate.
Exactly what he needed. Because if you have a chord that's 70 feet long, and it touches the inner circle at one point, it makes no difference how big the two circles are. So we can make the inner circle, in fact, zero. So now the chord becomes the diameter.
And you're done. Pi r squared.
Pi r squared. 35 squared times pi becomes the area of the annulus. That is the area that needs to be painted.
So if you own a carousel, anyone...
Yeah, you don't have to move the equipment out to measure.
All right, take this stuff out. All right, take that motor out of there.
Get the crane in here. So anyway, for those of you who are curious about the mathematics involved, you can see it on the website. Otherwise, just take it on faith that it works.
Yeah.
Well, who's our winner anyway?
Well, Jane Van Hatten knew this, and she's all the way in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Get out.
And for having her answer selected at random from the pork barrel full of correct answers that we got, Jane is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And with that $25 gift certificate, she can get herself a copy of our not even close to Grammy Award-winning Car Talk cartoons, America's best disrespectful car songs. Good for you, Jane.
Anyway, we'll have a new, I believe, automotive puzzler. We haven't had an automotive puzzler in a while, and that will be coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, of course, you can call us at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane Rogers from Winfield, Kansas. I need some advice.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you, gentlemen.
So what's your problem, Jane?
I'm considering buying a stretch limo.
Oh, no.
A used one.
Why?
The reason he's upset is because I, too, am considering buying a stretch limo.
Good for you.
And I don't need any other wackos to reinforce this guy.
Well, nobody in my family over the age of 21 thinks I'm playing with a full deck.
Well, they're probably right, and we know that he isn't, but anyway.
One taco short of a combination plate, they say around here.
Yeah, my grandkids think it's a great idea.
Well, yeah, kids like it.
Yeah,
the world is full of Ford Tauruses and little blue Toyotas.
Yeah.
So you want it so you can be different?
Yeah, well, I like it.
What do you plan to do with it?
Drive it.
Just drive it around town?
Drive driving around town every now and then, maybe to Texas if I want to meet a lot of highway patrolmen.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea, naturally. And I have met with the same kind of response. Little kids think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And other people who call themselves adults think that I'm either stupid or wacko. And they're probably right, but it has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, well, but we smile a lot.
What he hasn't told you is that he wants to ride in the back. He wants someone to drive him around. He wants to sit in back with the kids.
No, no, here's what my theory is.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have kids? You said grandkids.
Yeah, I have grandkids.
Well, I have kids.
Okay.
And, you know, you take two kids and you stick them in the back seat of the car, and immediately they're starting to argue about things. You're on my side, I'm on your side,
yeah.
He touched me, Ma. And all of a sudden, they're fighting and they're screaming. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to press that little button on the dashboard mm-hmm. and have that privacy window just go... And suddenly they disappear.
Well, there was
about 21 years of age. Then you let them out.
So, I mean, I think that's a great idea. And it's a great way to travel. If you're on vacation, you can throw the kids in the back. It's got a TV, a refrigerator.
Wonderful.
So you want to buy a secondhand one, I take it.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, oh, of course.
They don't make these new.
And I also, I want to make some money when I sell it 15 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is... I've been looking at them, to tell you the truth. I mean,
okay.
I have been looking at used limos, and the best deal I found so far was an 84 Lincoln Stretch.
Yeah.
That was going for $6,000.
Oh,
and I came
wonderful.
Very, very close to getting that one.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And the
didn't Uncle Enzo have one? There's some bloodstains on the back. But the...
Yes, that was. I got a discount for that one. And this guy that was selling it pointed out to me. He asked me why I wanted it, and I was perfectly upfront with him.
Yeah.
I told him to keep my little kids quiet because they were making me crazy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, and don't forget, on the weekends you can make a few bucks doing a wedding once in a while.
Sure.
I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, you should get yourself a camera. You can do the photography. You can do everything. Get you out of the house. Give you some kind of a social life.
So, Jane, I am all in favor of it.
Okay,
but you really... You really
pointers. How's the gas mileage on these things?
Terrible. I mean,
terrible?
They get about 7 miles to the gallon.
Oh, well, that's all right.
But who cares?
But who cares?
What do you drive now, Jane? What kind of a Toyota?
I have a 52 Cadillac convertible.
A 52?
Hold
Cadillac
on.
Convertible. And I have a, I don't know, some kind of a sensible Chevy van from the 80s.
Are you married, Jane? My brother's ready to fly down.
No, I'm
and
not
kneel
happy.
At your feet.
You have a 52 Cadillac convertible?
Yes, I do. Aren't I lucky?
How about if I swapped you by the limo that I just bought? Would you need a 52 Caddy?
No, I've been offered new Cadillacs for it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you have. Well, don't give up that 52 Caddy. That's a beauty.
Oh, there's no way. No, I just like old cars.
Let me just point out to you that if you are going to buy a used limo, you have to be very careful to have it checked out very, very carefully.
Is it best to get it from a dealer or from the limo service itself?
Well, you're not going to find one at a dealer unless he got it from a limo service.
Okay.
So I would go for the limo service, but I would then take it to a dealer and have them check it out completely. Because with a limo, you can't tell anything by the odometer.
Yeah.
So if someone says to you it's got 70,000 miles on it, it means nothing because they never turn the engine off. So if it has 70,000 miles on it, it means it's been running the equivalent of all 480,000 miles.
Okay.
So you really have to have someone look at the engine and the front end because they wear out.
Okay.
But you'll love it, Jane.
Okay, thanks a lot for the advice,
And
fellas.
Your grandchildren will like it. Thanks for your call. We had a lot of fun.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jared Rockwood from Salt Lake City.
Jared?
Jared, yep.
Jared, J-A-R-R-O-D?
Close, J-A-R-E-D.
Ah,
that Jared.
Jared.
From where?
From Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City.
Got it.
That's west of here.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So what's up, Jared?
Well, actually, I have an old truck. It's an 82 Toyota. It's four-wheel drive. And basically, I had a really bad problem with my throwout bearing.
Yeah.
One day, I went out to drive, and whenever I put in the clutch, it would just start screaming really, really loud.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so I have a mechanic buddy who said, that is your throw-out bearing. It is bad.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. And so I also had an oil leak. It's kind of two existing problems.
Mm.
The oil leak steadily was getting really bad.
Where was the oil leak?
It's towards the back of the pan gasket.
Oh, perfect opportunity to kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And so this is exactly what we do. We go buy a clutch kit.
Good.
And we buy a gasket. We put both of those on.
I smell an unhappy ending here. I'm not sure, you know.
Why would he be calling us?
Just a hunch.
Would he be calling us just to relay to us a very pleasant experience?
Well, I thought about it, yeah.
Yeah.
That was originally my plan. Except...
So what did you replace? Just the throw-out bearing?
No, the whole clutch.
Well, we decided as long as we're tearing the whole transmission apart, we might as well put a clutch in.
Good thinking.
So we put in the whole clutch kit with the throw-out bearing and the pressure plate and the clutch.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so... I'm driving home, and sure enough, that loud squeal has gone away.
Ah.
It's been replaced with a slight chirp that sounds very similar to the squeal, but just a chirpy sound.
And the chirp occurs when you have your foot on the clutch and you're moving?
It only happens while I'm taking the clutch out or while I'm pushing it in. If it's to the floor, it doesn't make the noise.
And so once your pedal stops moving...
Yeah.
Then the chirp is gone.
Chirp is gone.
I don't think it's the throw-out bearing. I don't think it's the clutch.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I think I've got a problem because, one, my oil leak didn't go away. I still have the chirp. I don't know exactly what it is. I had a few friends who have given me an idea, but I haven't got around to.
Well, I have one. Would you like the simple inexpensive answer, or would you like
definitely the simple
the expensive junk the truck answer?
Junk the truck.
No, he wants this truck. He's had this truck for two decades. And we're going to give you the simple answer.
You're getting both answers whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Okay, good.
The simple answer is that...
Forget about it.
That's the third answer. The simple answer is that the little ball, if you remember when you had the transmission out, there is a fork to which the throw-out bearing attaches, and there's a ball that fork pivots on.
Okay.
Okay, made of steel. And it's held in by a little spring. You remember that? It was a long time ago, huh?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
You didn't do this part. You were getting the sandwiches? you were on a beer and sandwich run, right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
your buddy will remember it.
You can see that little ball. There's a little rubber boot on the side of the transmission where that fork enters the bell housing.
Okay.
If you pull that rubber boot off, you can see that ball. You might be able to just get in there with a little brush and put some grease on that, and you might be able to get that squeak to go away.
I would squirt it with the little WD-40 first, and then put the grease on it.
Okay.
You could do both of those things.
Yes. And I honestly think that the little chirp is going to go away when you do that.
Okay. So it's not a big deal then.
Well, unless you listen to my brother's answer B.
Okay.
His answer B. Answer B incorporates the chirp and the oil leak, too.
Yeah.
I have to ask you one question. Do you ever have any trouble shifting it?
No, not really.
Good.
Well, that's good.
That's a good answer,
man. That means
that
answer B might be gone. The answer that I was going to give you that would be disastrous is that something called the thrust bearing in your engine is worn out.
Uh-huh.
And if that's the case, as you're stepping on the clutch, you're moving the whole crankshaft towards the front of the car.
Okay.
And that don't say okay, because this is like...
This is
end of the world stuff, Jared. Well,
okay for me, she's.
This isn't okay.
Okay.
No, he just meant okay. I hear you.
Very, very okay.
Bad. Yeah.
Well, like Roger.
Roger.
Yeah.
Over and out.
Yeah. We're out. All right. So hope it isn't that. Try the grease, and if it isn't that, get yourself a real good sound system.
Okay, I like.
Yeah,
that.
Except for the little squirt of WD-40 and the grease, I would say there is nothing you should be thinking about in the way of doing something.
Yeah, certainly not the thrust bearing.
No, you just forget about it.
Okay.
And just keep driving. It'll drive forever.
Good. That's good to hear.
Jared, a pleasure talking to you. Have a good attitude. Take care.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Okay, I've had enough. I think we should take a break.
If you've had enough, then you know that both of our listeners bailed out at least 10, 15 minutes ago.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Always had a thing for a fast engine, the kind to take me where I wanna go. When I first met you, I said, let's see what you can do. But your RPMs were set too low. Since
Since I was sweet 16, I've loved this Mustang. It's got all that it takes under the hood. You never were my speed. You lack the horsepower that I need. I'll find a gear that makes me feel good. Now I've got the keys to my daddy's yellow Mustang. A tape of Janis singing the blues. I got the pedal to the floor. You won't see me anymore. I'm putting distance between me and you.
And even though Madison Bumgarner, he's one over the backstop whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And I've got to say that I like this one because it's automotive. We haven't had an automotive Puzzler in a while, and I heard the clamoring about that. And more than that, this is actually was sent to us pretty recently.
This year?
This decade.
Decade?
This comes from someone named Brad Hamill. Here it is. I really can't improve it much, so I'll just read it, and you guys will have to figure it out.
All right.
This fellow takes his Volvo to the shop, now it could be any car, and complains of a strong pulsing in his brake pedal when he applies the brakes. The mechanic looks over the car and finds that, sure enough, the front disc brake rotors are warped.
Yeah.
He installs new ones and sends the fellow off on his way. 5,000 miles later, the same car owner comes back to the shop and complains that the pulsing is back. Suspicious and yet confident that his work was perfect, the mechanic asks the owner a few questions. Do you ride the brake? Have you tightened your lug nuts with a high-powered air wrench? Or has anyone done that? Et cetera. Have you bought new tires? The owner answers no to all questions. In fact, he answers no all the time to everything. The mechanic is at a loss and replaces the warped rotors.
Yeah.
1,000 miles later, the guy comes back. And guess what? He has an oil leak this time. But 1,000 miles after that, he comes back with the same problem. This time, the mechanic asks straight up what the heck he's doing to the car that could be causing this problem, knowing that there's nothing wrong with the parts and nothing wrong with the installation.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellow says, I don't know. He says, I go on a lot of long car trips, and it's always the day after I arrive home from these trips that I start feeling the pulsing, but never during the trip.
This is great.
The mechanic asks him one question.
Yeah.
And he knows the answer to the puzzle. What question did he ask him?
Now, what is your mother-in-law weigh?
Already asked him two questions. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us. You didn't ask any questions along the way. You felt it didn't require any.
No, I thought it was perfectly clear.
Right.
And there was very little obfuscation going on.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to obfuscate.
I didn't feel it necessary to call you to task.
Really?
I didn't.
Wow, gee, how unfortunate. I'll remedy that by next week.
Did you sneak something by me?
I'm sure I did. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
This is Claire calling from Columbia, Kentucky.
Claire?
Yep.
Columbia, Kentucky.
Sounds like you're from County Clare.
Well, no, but the spelling is correct. I'm from England.
Oh, England. Yes. Okay, well, I was close.
My mother's family are from County Clare in Ireland.
Oh, son of a gun. So what's up?
And how did, wait a minute, how does a nice British girl end up in Columbia, Kentucky?
Oh, that's far too long and complicated a story.
It is.
But I love it here. Columbia is a lovely little town, and Kentucky is just beautiful.
Great.
Are you a horse person?
Horse country, right?
I have two horses.
You do? Now, that's the kind of horsepower that we all should have.
Two.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Claire, what can we do for you?
Well, I have a car that has not too much horsepower. It's a 1985 Plymouth Reliant. It's a station wagon, and I absolutely love it. I was going through a junkyard just the other week.
Is that where you bought it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
And they threw the net on you, right?
I'd stay away from junkyards with that car.
Well, actually, I love the junkyard. I was like a kid in a candy store. It was lots of fun. But I found the same model that had cruise control. So I want to know, can I install cruise control on mine? And if so, which parts should I rip out of the old junker?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can certainly do that, and you'd have to take off the stock, you know, the part where the cruise control buttons are. They're in the directional switch on that car. And then you'd have to take off all the
junk that's attached to the this probably has a car. This does have
a carburetor.
The stuff that's attached to the carburetor.
Oh, now mine has fuel injection.
All right, then
get out.
That's good.
I think it was the first year that they did it on.
So. Yeah. Why do you want cruise control?
Oh, because I
you don't
like
take this car out on the highway, do you?
Actually, my car goes absolutely great. I guess about 30 miles to the gallon for it. And, I quite often drive, you know, to other states. And so going for hours along the interstate, I like to have cruise control.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, so you need to take off. There's obviously another throttle cable. There's a different throttle cable that now goes from your gas pedal. You're not going to go directly. I don't know exactly how it's hooked up on this thing, but you'll find out that there are two throttle cables, and you need to take both of them.
Right.
But it might be cheaper to just go someplace and have aftermarket cruise control installed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it might be. You should shop around first.
Okay.
I mean, you might be able to get it done for, I don't know, $150 or something.
Oh, really? That cheap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Claire.
Well, thank you very much.
See you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, actually, there are a lot of pieces you'll have to take off, but you'll never get that far.
Nah, she'll give up on this little project.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
Cruise control.
It's like worrying about the curtains on the Titanic. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris from Durham, North Carolina.
Hey, Chris.
Chris.
What's going on?
Well, my dad was up visiting us in Durham about 2 weeks ago, and we were doing some errands, and we were driving my 2000 Ford Focus to the big home improvement store.
Lowe's?
Home Depot.
Okay.
Home Depot, yeah.
So we were pulling up, and we were debating the merits of which is the best parking space to park in. And we ended up parking where I wanted to park because I was driving, which is closest to where you drop off the carts because I don't like to push the cart all the way across the parking lot. Went in, did our business, came back out, looked for the car. The car was gone. So we sort of looked around, and as we looked, our sort of circumference of where we were looking increased, and I finally found the car, and it was over by the gardening section. Definitely hadn't parked it there. But it was definitely the car because it was missing the piece of the roof rack, which only my car is missing, and got in, started the ignition, and this was the clincher. The CD player came on. And
playing a CD that you don't own.
No, the CD that I own, and it was on full blast. And when we pulled up to the store before, we definitely did not have the CD player on.
I know exactly what happened.
What happened?
Somebody who also had a Ford Focus of the same color as yours came out and thought he had parked his car. Couldn't remember where he had parked his car because he had not been discussing it with everyone in his car.
And he had a broken roof rack too.
And it so happened that his key fit your car.
But
he got in it, he started to drive away, and he said, wait a minute, wasn't I playing a seat? This isn't my car. Oh, there's my car right there.
He parked it where he had been parked.
He parked it where he had been parked.
Right next to it. Right next to it.
All right next to it.
So you're telling me that all Ford Focuses have the same key?
No,
yes,
they do. There are three keys that fit off.
Let's see.
No, it's often...
You're in Durham, you got key number three.
No. No, I mean, there are obviously lots of different keys that fit Ford Focuses, but it's often the case, and I know because I've done this. We often get cars in the shop that are exactly the same, except they're owned by different people and they're different colors and whatnot, but they're the same year and the same make, and we have started many of them with the wrong key.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Well, I'll tell you, the worst part about it is sometimes they'll start the car, but you can't get the key out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometimes they...
And we ask when the customer comes, it's running, just take it. Yeah, and it can be very expensive when we make that mistake. So for that reason, we try to label all the keys and attach them to the repair order and give the mechanic the license plate number of the car to minimize those errors. But it does happen, and Tommy's right. That's exactly what happened. Some kid got in your car, fired it up, turned the thing up all the way, said, what kind of crud is this on the CD? And realized that it wasn't his car. Parked it right next to where his was.
But he was nice enough to give you the CD.
That's right. Nothing was missing.
He didn't want the lousy music. You listened to it.
Right. What's the statistical likelihood, though, of that happening?
One chance in 713. I don't know. You know, I mean, I know nothing about locksmithing. I'm not even a smithy.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they make thousands of different keys, so obviously the chances of it happening are very small, but it can happen, and sometimes even the wrong key can be forced to start another car.
Mm-hmm.
And we know because we've done that, too.
All right.
So that's what happened. And,
very strange, though. You must have been quite...
Well, yeah, and the question was, you know, should we call the police about it? But immediately my dad would say, no, we have to call Car Talk.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm sure the police would have figured it out.
As much as the police, i.e., they'll do nothing.
Right.
I'm sure the police would have figured it out, too.
All right.
Chris, thanks for your call.
Thanks.
Bye. Good work, Tommy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi,
who's this?
This is Wendy.
Wendy or Wendy?
Wendy.
With an E?
Yeah.
Wendy.
Wendy. Yeah. You must be from Chicago.
No.
No.
I'm calling from Pleasanton, California.
California? Where is that?
California or Pleasanton?
Pleasanton.
It's kind of near San Francisco.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that sounds like a pleasant community.
Yeah, so what's on your mind, Wendy?
Well, my husband and I are getting ready to move back to North Carolina, and he wants to have me pull a trailer behind my car, and I'm not so sure that I should do that.
Why doesn't he want to pull it behind his car?
Well, he's going to pull one behind his car.
Oh, you're going to have two trailers?
Yeah.
Oh, separate trailers. Marriage isn't going too well.
What kind of cars do you have?
I have a Honda Accord.
Ooh.
Manual transmission?
No, it's automatic.
Well, that's good. What does he have?
He has a Ford Ranger.
Sure.
That's why he wants to pull the trailer. Let him pull both trailers.
Yeah, that's what I say.
One behind the other.
Does he has a manual shift?
Yeah.
He'll need a clutch by the time he gets to, let me see where, about St. Louis.
No, he'll never make it to St. Louis.
No, he won't make it over the mountains.
Tulsa.
Denver. Okay, so...
Well, you're right to question this.
Well, wait a minute. We haven't asked the second part of the question.
What?
B?
Yeah, part B. How big are the trailers?
Well, the owner's manual for my car says that I can tow up to 1,000 pounds, but the Honda dealer doesn't recommend pulling them, and they don't even install trailer hitches there.
Oh, no, they'll just weld the thing right to your frame. 1,000 pounds
isn't much of a trailer.
Well, that's what I know.
And the wheels weigh 1,000 pounds.
All right, now let's get... How many rooms of furniture do you have?
Well, we just live in a one-bedroom apartment. We can't afford anything. This is California, remember?
Oh, that's right.
So you have no rooms of furniture.
Oh, these aren't mobile home-type trailers. These are just trailers full of furniture?
Yeah, U-Haul trailers.
Like a U-Haul trailer.
Yeah. Ah.
Oh, you thought they were going to pull around Lucy and Ricky with those?
That's why I said the marriage wasn't going too well.
Oh,
I thought they were living in separate trailers next to each other. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have made that nasty comment. So, 1,000 pounds. I mean, even though the Honda dealer doesn't recommend it, who the hell are they? No, I mean, if the manufacturer of the car says you can haul 1,000 pounds, why should some jerk in some dealership who can't even get his knuckles to stop scraping on the ground tell you different?
Well, that's what my husband said.
He's right.
Right, you need to go to Tanoose the Trailer King.
Tanoose?
And have him... He's out there in Pleasantville somewhere.
In Pleasanton?
Yeah.
And you need Route 1?
And you need him to weld the whole gizmo onto your frame so you can hook this baby right up.
Tanoose the Trailer King.
You're saying it's okay?
It's on my car. Personally, no, I wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. In addition to the fact that there's a chance that you might do damage to the vehicle by overheating. And don't forget, you have to cross the mountains to get from the west to the east.
Yeah. Wow.
For that matter, even going east to west, you have to cross.
Are they still there?
You have to cross the mountains, which, needless to say, puts unnecessary wear and tear in the engine, makes the thing run hot, whether it's the Accord or the Ranger.
Okay.
So that's one issue. Number two, it presents a great risk because driving with something on the back of you that weighs, half as much as your car or a third as much is pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're driving on, you ever driven those mountain roads before?
Well, we drive them coming out here.
Yeah, was it scary?
So you have to cross them going out as well as coming back.
So you're going to, that's element number two. So with those two things.
I have to agree with my brother again.
I would hire Allied Van Lines. The guys show up and they'll put you right. Does your husband lift weights?
Yeah.
He does, or you have to carry his weights?
Yeah.
Does he have a record collection?
Yeah.
Weights and record. Leave that stuff behind. You'll be able to put everything in the back seat.
Well, as long as I can carry my clothes, I'll be okay.
Yeah, see, clothes are light.
Yeah.
But I would seriously recommend against it. What it'll cost you in fees, plus they have to you pay a return fee, right? They have to get the trailer back.
Right.
Right? They fly them back.
It's going to cost $400 just to put a trailer hitch on my car.
Oh. Right.
In addition, that I'll never use again.
In addition to what Tanoos the Trailer King is going to get. That's right.
In which case, I do wholeheartedly agree with my brother. Ship the whole damn pile of stuff or sell it and start all over
again.
Have
a yard sale. Sell everything and start afresh in North Carolina. Good luck, Wendy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Don't do it. Bad idea.
Bye.
See ya.
You were right on that. You were right.
Once a week, I'm right.
And that was it.
That was it. Oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Lake Louise, Stinky Cheese, Sugar Peas, Chickadees, Bubble Teas, Lemon Squeeze, Jujubes, Cream Cassis. Vitamin B's, Fine Chablis, Lunch Reprise is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge in Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. The director of our employee loyalty program is Upton Leftis. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before, and the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Lewis Dewey, known to the art history grads handing out free coupons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and of course, don't drive like my brother.
And if you think of it, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1444, download other fine Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, what to do with your old heap when you buy a new car.
You could crush it just for the emotional satisfaction that revenge brings on, but why not rise above that and donate it to benefit your favorite public radio station, this one.
It's extremely easy with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
Details are on the website at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though voters insist they're talking about us when they say, throw the bums out, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.